It's the download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's the halfway mark of the show tonight. My next guest knows a thing or two about radio. Charlie Meyerson has spent a life, because you've done other things.
I've had several lives.
several lives.
One of them
was in radio, reading the news at WXRT and running the newsroom here at WGN Radio. It's good to be back. First time back?
First time back in
a
while.
Are you serious?
Wow. Yeah.
I brought you back in?
You did.
I'm so ignorant.
You're one of the few people I've come back from.
Exactly.
No, I've come back for anybody.
The whole management team is seething right now. How do you let him back in the building? And it was all, and I'm just like, hey, Charlie, what'd you come on?
The people who asked me to leave aren't here
anymore.
Yeah,
of course. He's made a transition out of radio. Out is the AM dial, and in is the digital. Digital, of course, a fancy word for podcasting, but Charlie's all about audio now. Radio's a thing of the past. Charlie Meyerson's the vice president of editorial at Rivet Radio. He's also supervising a workshop on podcasting Wednesday morning for Chicago's Public Narrative, which was used to be Community News.
Community Media Workshop,
former name. Yeah. Right.
The people who give out the Studs Terkel Award,
right,
which will happen coming soon.
That's right, Richard Steele. That's at Columbia College, and delivering a keynote speech on the subject March 29th for the Graduate School at Northwestern University in Evanston. Charlie, great to see you, man.
It's great to be also to see you, too.
I mean, we could talk for hours about this subject because we both have been in this business long enough to be at that symposium about the future of radio, the future of audio, but audio has become the buzzword. It's not radio anymore, it's audio.
Well, and I still call it radio. I think we all still call it radio. The company I work for is called Rivet Radio, and although it's not sent to people over AM and FM transmitters and tall towers, it does come to you through the air, mm-hmm. to your smartphone or your computer, not so much over the air to your computer, but over the air to your smartphones.
Sure.
The interesting thing is, and I think you and I both lived through this evolution of the media landscape in the, I guess, the early 2000s. The internet grew very quickly from being able to handle just text and then photos to being able to accommodate video.
Right.
They forgot about audio.
There was
a point at which anyone working for any media organization anywhere in the world that had a web presence, and now that's just about everybody, heard from the boss, get us video.
Right.
We got to have video because they could sell ads against it.
And I was going to say, I mean, there had been experiments in audio. There'd been, you know, Audible being one. I'm trying to think of some
others. Well, Audible started. I remember Audible getting cassettes from Audible.
And even SoundCloud, which is still active today. But there was this move to create an audio playground on the internet. And what was missing was people making audio. It wasn't there. That's one of the things we're going to talk about is you're seeing more and more people, even a younger generation is coming out that audio is something that they want to make, and they're making it abundantly.
Well, and the amazing thing to those of us who are old enough, you may be old enough, I'm not sure, to remember the days of reel-to-reel tape recorders razor blades and splicing tape. And I go back to a time when cut and paste were not menu items on computer screens because nobody had computer screens when I was doing newscasts. If you wanted to change the order of paragraphs in a script, I kept a reel of tape, scotch tape, adhesive tape, and a pair of scissors at my desk alongside my typewriter. So if I wanted to make a last-minute change in the order of paragraphs, I could cut them all up and tape them all back on a page in the right order. So now that same transformation that we've all gotten used to in word processing is available for free to people for audio processing.
And that's really why. I mean, the ability to edit your own audio on it comes in some cases, some computers, it's already there. I mean, that software comes with the computer. So it just gives you an opportunity almost automatic to have the skills that you and I both were cutting. We're doing razor blades again and taking the white piece of the white chalk and be like,
wager almost any young person who's had any computer training at all by middle school or the beginning of high school is familiar now with GarageBand, which is, you know, comes with Apple computers, lets you edit sound very easily.
Now here's
and you can do it on your phone now too. There are apps that will let you edit audio right on your phone.
Trim on the video and phone from when you use the your phone.
Exactly.
Your photos. Okay. That being said, are you seeing, as someone who's is immersed in a startup at Rivet, you're immersed in audio, that's what you have to do. Are you seeing people doing interesting things with it? Are you seeing journalists and content creators making things that we've never seen before? Or is this just a medium to do the same thing that you and I are doing right now?
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing, and as a matter of fact, I was looking over today the guest list for this seminar I'm moderating, leading on Wednesday. The people who've signed up for this, and by the way, you can sign up until 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at publicnarrative.org for this session Wednesday. The people who've signed up, they represent a major professional organization that has, you know, hundreds of thousands of members, and they're publishing web and, to some extent, audio content. A major insurance company is sending a contingent of people in. Everyone's looking around with the same enthusiasm they used to look at, you know, 10 years ago and say, video.
Right.
Now, audio is increasingly accessible, and here are some of the things that have transformed it and made that more popular. The phone. There are more people walking around now with headsets their ears than ever before.
I'm carrying my computer with me, right?
Exactly. And they're listening more than ever before because, you know, again, 20, 30 years ago, portable headsets were not even a thing.
Right.
So now they're listening, and increasingly, young people in particular, when they get in the car, what's the first thing they do? If the car doesn't already have internet, they plug in their phone.
I was going to say, turn in their electronic cigarette?
I was talking to some high school students at a high school journalism. No, I hope they're not doing that. High school journalism conference last week, and I said, what do you do when you get in the car? And several of them said, the first thing they say is, who's got the aux cable?
Yeah, right.
The auxiliary input cable.
That's an old car.
That's an old car.
Every day it changes. If you go right now and get a new Honda CRV right now, there's no aux table.
You can get Bluetooth.
It's Bluetooth. It's everything in between.
But that's what young people are doing. So there is an audience for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The major news organizations, with the exception of those that have historically been in radio, and I'm talking mainly public radio, which has embraced the podcast, the sort of non-linear content. It's available when you want it as opposed to when it goes over the air, you know, have not done much. WGN has a vibrant set of podcasts, which, by the way, you can hear on Rivet Radio, the free app you can download.
WGN
for
Plus.
WGN Plus.
I mean, there's some tremendous stuff coming out
there
of that.
There absolutely is. It's freed of the tyranny of the clock, I like to say. It doesn't have to fit into, as some stations do, an 8-minute hole because traffic and weather have to come every few minutes.
Well,
and it doesn't have to be stretched, as you're probably going to do with my interview, to fill a whole half hour. If I get boring in a podcast, you can just kick me out and you're done with me.
Charlie Meyerson. He's the vice president of editorial at Rivet Radio. All right. And he's got his workshop at Columbia College as part of the Chicago's Public Narrative on Wednesday. You can sign up till 3 o'clock tomorrow. Let's take a break. Because, you know, that's part of the future. It's a wave of the future. It's breaks.
Absolutely.
Breaks. We'll come back. More with Charlie. Stay with us. My guest tonight, Charlie Meyerson, in the hot seat, talking digital media.
Oh, is this heated?
It's heated.
I didn't know that.
Brand new chairs are really nice. here on the download, we are talking about the future of media, but we're really focusing on audio. You do you're vice president of editorial over at Rivet Radio.
Yes, a vice president at last. The
at
title
last.
I've
finally,
always coveted.
Finally. Now I've known you so long, and all you've done is you've just complained about when am I going to be a vice president. Well, you got it. How's your life?
It's good. It's okay.
All right, so let me ask you, you know, because we're talking about this, and I've been in these conversations about the sunsetting of radio. Like, I get a lot of people who will say, I've been in different meetings where like, what are we doing about the future? We need to really gear towards the web because radio's not going to be around. And then you'll see on the other side, the piece that'll come out tomorrow that will say, you know what, new study out, AM radio, FM radio, they are up a lot higher than ever.
You know, there are some numbers. There's some startling numbers. There's a company called Edison Research that every year does a report called The Infinite Dial. And they take a look at how Americans are listening to things. And there's some startling numbers here. This is just from, I think, last week or the week before. In-home ownership of over-the-air radio receivers, right, AM and FM, has gone way down.
There are,
I think,
like,
they use the word plummeted.
Still have a radio.
79% of respondents have a radio at home now. A radio of some sort, AM or FM. That number was 96 8 years ago, down to 79.
But that's not that startling to me.
Well, it's not that startling, and I want to be optimistic about
this.
Because
I can listen to WGN radio on my phone.
Exactly. That's why I don't think this is the death of radio. It's people love listening to things. Now, you can make a case that once we get self-driving cars and people have the option to take their eyes off the road, you'll be seeing a lot more people watching Netflix in the cars than listening to radio.
Right,
but
right.
For now, at least, they're listening to stuff, and how the sound gets to them is in the long run immaterial, whether it's an AM transmitter, an FM transmitter, or their smartphone plugged in by Bluetooth. And I think that's exciting. People love listening to things.
Okay, so there's one thing about the pattern of what people are listening to. And on the other side of the dime, you've got user-generated content. And this is the buzzword that's been around. Miss Shiver, like UCG. And the idea of people at home being able to make, we talked about it, so easy now to make audio, but there are people at home who are making audio, and that's the way, the YouTube of radio, that's how we're going to use radio. And I have been in meetings, and I have been at big boardrooms and big advertising places, and they're like, that's the future. And I'm like, no, it's not. Because I don't believe that people want to hear what their neighbor has to say.
Look, it depends on the neighbor, of course. I have some very wonderful neighbors, right. And I think some of them are listening now, so I'd be delighted to listen to their podcast. Just, you know, and if I need to borrow sugar, please don't slam the door in my face.
Right.
But you can't turn thumbs down on user-generated content without taking a look at what's become a primary source, and for young people, the number one source of listening for new music now. Guess what that is?
SoundCloud.
YouTube.
Yeah, I get it.
Began as and is still fundamentally user-generated content. Now, is a lot of it crap? Yes, a lot of it is crap.
They're not listening to you in your garage. They're not like, Charlie's got a new song.
It's Justin
please
Bieber.
Say Bieber. Yeah, I was going to say,
Justin,
you can't
Bieber.
Find it.
I couldn't find it. I was wondering. Well, I went to Justin and then, no.
New kids
Justin
are listening
Kaufman
to that. Justin, what's his name?
You know, talk about user-generated content. I often think about Tavi Gevinson, style rookie, blogger, multimedia sensation, started in her bedroom on YouTube.
I find that to be not user-generated content.
They were all users at one point, and they generated content.
And you can make an argument that John Green and his brother are the same concept. But, you know, knowing those people. In any form, if you just look into their story, they're at the same level as some of the sort of up and coming professionals that are in radio, that are in TV. They're personalities, they're stars.
Yes,
they're going to be stars regardless. Cream rises to the top. I don't believe that I'm like, I want to hear what everybody in Michigan Avenue is. I want to hear everybody's podcast.
Was Sony Pictures right knocking at their door? Was CBS Television
that's
knocking
the medium,
at their door?
Though. That's the
they were discovered because of the mechanism of people. Finding user-generated content, liking it. And so is all of it good? No. Is some of it good? And can we as a culture, you know, through our educational programs in the schools and high schools and colleges, teach people to write better, to edit videos? If you know any high school kids, they're doing some amazing stuff, again, because they have access to this cheap equipment in the classroom. They are doing some wonderful things just about anywhere.
Let me ask you though, Charlie, this is the one thing that, you know, I'm trying to draw a comparison. I think of like sports. Everybody plays basketball.
Right? Well, I'm not very good at basketball.
You did at one point.
Yes, and
in high school,
never very
you
well.
Probably played on the playground by your house, whatever it was, and you were terrible. But you played it. Right?
I'll disagree, but let's pretend that I did. Go ahead.
So you played it and played it and played it, and some got good, and when they got to a certain point, they started to get training. Maybe they played in a high school, and a coach taught them how to run back and forth better and to draw up the plays, and then because of that training, they moved on to college, and there was some training, and any of those players that went to the National Basketball Association, it was because they continued their training to get there. Do you see a world in which there's going to be enough audio training for these people who are really good and maybe they got a great voice, but they need to go to the next level? What's the next level for a kid who's making audio in their basement?
Well, you know, a good education, going to a good school, getting
projects? I mean, Columbia College does radio.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing at Northwestern and other places saying now we've got an audio department?
Well, to my surprise, Northwestern's invited me to deliver a keynote address, and it's actually going to be directed largely at people on in the technical academic field at Northwestern, who have their own podcasts and who want to learn to get better. I'm not going to be talking to Medill, which is the journalism school where I've taught on occasion too. But this is for others. So, yeah. That's the short answer.
But that's what needs to happen. In my mind,
and practice makes perfect. Yeah, doing, I mean, you know as well as I do, most of us when we started radio weren't very good, and just doing it day in and day out, putting the headphones on, talking into the microphone, And if you go back, if you're really good, you go back and listen to how bad you sounded, and then you take yourself apart, and then ideally you're better the next day. So there's a feedback loop built into, you know, the recording process for those who go back and listen and say, oh, I could have done that better.
Now, we mentioned the two components, the idea of somebody making something, somebody consuming it. But the third part is people making money off of it, and that's the part that's still missing. Advertisers coming to audio, and you see it a little bit with podcast successes like Serial or others where they're actually doing it. But that's few and far between. The percentages are pretty – I mean, that's not a good percentage of Serial's getting paid and everybody else isn't.
As with Google's AdSense program where, you know, even, you know, the most modest blogger, if he or she – gets enough people to come to their page, gets a few bucks from Google for ads served on their page. That's going to happen with audio. I have no doubt. It's already beginning to happen. And for those who wind up with an unusually large audience, yeah, there's money to be made. And it's money that, you know, in many cases, they won't be splitting with a giant CBS conglomerate, which, by the way, is up for sale. If anyone wants to buy CBS Radio, I think they're on the market now. So yeah,
how about that Justin, Bieber.
Bieber. Yeah, that's right. Can I make one other point?
Yes.
Here's something interesting that we're learning at Rivet. For every piece of content that we play on Rivet, every individual news story, every WGN podcast, the WGN Plus audio segment that we play, we can look at metrics and say, okay, X number of people started listening to this. Of those people, how many pressed skip in the first 30 seconds. Mm. Someone has compared Rivet to Tinder for radio news. Now, I've never used Tinder. I'm a happily married man, but no. But, you know, you can swipe from one. If you don't like what you're seeing, you can swipe left or right. Same thing with Rivet. We sort of stress test audio because listeners can skip, or if you like it, you can swipe right to go back and listen to it again. But we have metrics. We can say how many people started listening to this, how many people finished listening to this, how many people skipped halfway through, bailed out halfway through. So some patterns are emerging for us because there aren't many organizations that have this kind of data on individual podcasts. So we're learning very quickly what it takes to get people to listen. And as the industry as a whole gets smart like that, we can be smarter about how we place ads and do all the rest.
Charlie Meyerson is the vice president of editorial at Rivet Radio. He'll be supervising a workshop on podcasting Wednesday morning for Chicago's Public Narrative at Columbia College.
Sign up before 3 o'clock tomorrow.
3 o'clock. And he's also delivering a keynote speech on the subject March 29th for the Graduate School at Northwestern University in Evanston. Great to see you, Charlie. And you got to come back when you get some of these analytics in. We can talk about the metrics.
I'm available for weddings and bar mitzvahs. Call anytime.